It's Thursday of the second week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Sulzdorf. Roman station today is Santa Maria in Trastevere. Either this or St. Mary Major is the oldest church in Rome dedicated to the Mother of God, and there is a legend connected to its founding. As legend has it, in 38 BC, a spring of oil came out of the ground here, and that was taken to be the announcement of the coming of a Savior. The church is connected to Pope Callistus I, killed here by being thrown into a well. He may have been the owner of the house which developed into this church site, and the house church was then replaced with a basilica built by Julius I, who died in 352. That basilica was damaged in the devastation of Rome in 410 by Alaric the Visigoth, and it was replaced in the 12th century. There were other additions over time. Among the things you want to see here at the basilica are the fantastic Cosmatesque floors and the beautiful mosaics in the apse and the arch. The relics of Saints Callistus, Cornelius, Julius, and Callipodius, a priest martyr of the 3rd century. Not enough children named Callipodius these days. These are all here, and their statues decorate the portico. The Gospel in the traditional Roman Rite today, since at least the time of St. Gregory the Great, who died in 604, is the Lord's parable about Dives and Lazarus, the poor man begging at the rich man's doorstep. The Lord himself reveals the truth that hell does exist and that there are consequences after death for how we lived. From a sermon of Pope St. Gregory the Great. Because the stress of the earlier tempests has lulled, and with the end of the struggle, a measure of tranquility has seemed to smile on us for a long time, we have to guard against those errors that arise from the reign of peace itself. Having been proved ineffective in open persecutions, the enemy now exercises a hidden skill in hurting us cruelly. By the stumbling block of pleasure, he trips up those he could not strike with the blow of affliction. He sees the faith of princes opposed to him, and the indivisible trinity of the one God worshipped in palaces as devoutly as in churches. He grieves that the shedding of Christian blood is forbidden, so he attacks the way of life of those whose death he cannot achieve. He changes the terror of confiscations into the fire of greed, and corrupts with covetousness those whose spirits he could not break by losses. For long use has ingrained a malicious pride in his very nature. He has not laid aside his hatred, but he has changed its character in order to control the minds of the faithful by enticements. If he cannot distress them with tortures, he inflames them with covetousness. He sows discord, stirs up passions, sets tongues wagging, and, just in case more cautious hearts should retreat from his lawless wiles, shows us opportunities for committing crimes. The fruit of all his plots is that he who is not worshipped with the sacrifice of cattle and goats and the burning of incense is instead paid the homage of various evil deeds.